when we do those things and we say yes to whatever God has for us, that's when He's going to rule in our life. That's when the Spirit is going to guide. He's going to be with us. He's going to bring life. He's going to help us tame that tongue. He is going to be the cure to the relentless evil that our tongue is. So it is vital that we embrace our relationship with God if we want the soundtrack to our home, the soundtrack of a Christ-centered home, to be one that is God-honoring.
What is the soundtrack of your home? Is it a home full of encouragement or negative words? Is it a place of praise and worship or simple talk of the world? The words and intentions of the speakers make up the soundtrack of our homes. Our family is counting on us to make it a place that honors God. Welcome back to The Compass. And after a week off due to technical difficulties, we are back up with another podcast from Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville. I'm your host, Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries here at Calvary. We're thrilled that you've chosen to listen to this week's message. This week, while continuing to look at building a Christ-centered home, I had the privilege of speaking and sharing about the soundtrack of a Christ-centered home.
Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 3. We're going to be starting there and ending up in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we're here to talk about God's Word. So I just want to encourage you, as we look at this, we're going to still continue the same thought that we have been talking about, building a Christ-centered home. And we're looking at something a little bit different this morning. This is our fifth Sunday, so in a way, it is our family Sunday, and so we don't dismiss for children's church or anything other than that. We meet together, everybody together, as our faith family, and that's so important. Pastor Kirk challenged us the last couple of Sundays in some ways and some different things that we've been thinking about, and that may be hard to think about those, but it's important as we look into God's Word to make sure that our life is matching up with that. Well, last night I had the opportunity to go to a night of Broadway at the Jones Center. My niece and a handful of talented adults from the area put on a free hour and a half concert of music from well-loved musicals. My niece even talked my brother into singing and dancing with her in a piece from the musical Annie. And I've never seen my brother do that, so it was actually a lot of fun. He did a fantastic job. They all did. But what makes a show like that work is that it hits on familiar beats. The songs are part of soundtracks from each of these shows. We hear Tomorrow, and we know it's from Annie, and you may even have that playing in your head now. We immediately think about that little orphan Annie in the show of the same name. But that's the power of music. It transports us to someplace different. It lifts us up, it pulls us down, it can scare us, and it can bring us joy. Music, and especially a soundtrack, can shape the world. I think about all the movies that I've seen over the years and how much music plays a part of it. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is go back and turn the soundtrack off. Turn the music off. Turn everything off and just try to watch it. It doesn't have the same emotional impact. Try to imagine watching Jaws with no dum-dum. Da-dum, da-dum. It would be a totally different music, totally different movie. It doesn't have the same emotional impact. Think of Rocky's long run and his push up the steps in Philly with I'm Gonna Fly Now coming in the background. We hear that music going on. If it wasn't there, it would feel totally different. And The Greatest Showman doesn't really even exist without the music. Music has a powerful impact. And those soundtracks that play in the background, man, they mean a lot. But it's not just film, though. Growing up, I was a TV junkie. I could sing the theme song to any number of shows. Gilligan's Island, Facts of Life, Different Strokes. Some of you younger ones going, what were those things? But I got to tell you, if it was a show that came on in the early 80s, late 70s, I knew the theme song because they all had a crazy theme song. And so when we would go to camp at other places, they would have contests where the youth pastors would have to get on stage and actually sing these things, cleaned up at those. It was fantastic. But those songs, those words, that music that was behind all of those things made a difference in the movie and in the show, the soundtrack. You see, music wasn't just for the theme song, although that's what we attached a lot to it. The soundtrack would build emotional impact throughout, especially on dramatic shows. I love the Star Trek series, as in Next Generation, all of those that came out during that time. Music was such a big part of that. I liked the X-Files show, and you had spooky music going on, and that made you go, oh, what's going to happen? And the suspense would build. It makes a big difference. You know, I've often thought, well, how cool would it be to have your own theme music, something that goes on in the background while you're walking around? You know, I'd like to think you'd be the main march from Superman. I'd walk into a room and it'd be da-da-da-da, but probably be dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum every time I walked anyplace. That's probably more of what it would look like. Now, why all this talk about soundtracks? Well, this summer we've talked a great deal about the family. Pastor Kirk has led us on a journey of discovering what it is to build a Christ-centered home. We've talked about having the right builder. We've talked about having a master plan, about having the right building materials. And in recent weeks, Pastor Kirk has challenged our thinking about the issues of family idolatry and our faith family. I know that as I listen to Pastor Kirk the last few weeks, I've been thinking, well, that's not what I've always heard. But is it what the Bible says? Well, that's what I have to look to. So maybe my thinking is wrong, and I've got to get in line with what God's Word says. Well, this week we want to talk about something a little different. We're going to talk about the soundtrack of your home. Now, that doesn't mean that you have Alexa playing every time. It's like, all right, Alexa, I need a song to fit this situation. That's not what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't know what an Alexa is, that's okay too. But basically, it's like an old intercom system that you can use your voice and tell it to play something and it'll play it. So maybe that'll help. Well, when I was in high school, I spent a lot of time with my friend in my friend's Wade's home. To this day, we refer to his parents' home as Wayne or Allen Manor. It is huge. There's an upstairs, downstairs, you can kind of get lost in there. And so we'd hang out there. We'd actually hang out in his attic before it was finished. We'd throw darts and we'd sit up there and listen to this radio and just hang out. It's a big home, and many larger homes built during that time had an intercom system built in so that they could stand in the dining room or the kitchen area and push a button and yell out to the kids. And so that was the plan there. Well, they would play music through it. They're a very musical family, but on Sunday mornings, like if I had spent the night with Wade over at his house before church, I would hear the Good News broadcast on Sunday mornings. For those of you who have been around the BMA of the Ozarks for a while, you know what that is. And then there would be other music. In a sense, it became the soundtrack of Sunday mornings in their home. They knew that that was going to be playing and that's what was going to be going on. While my home didn't have the music playing all the time, there was definitely another soundtrack playing. Came in the words that my family shared with one another. Sometimes it was pleasant to hear when my parents would share an I love you, or my dad would say, I'm proud of you. The house was full of good music. However, when anger would reign, the soundtrack was full of dissonance. It wasn't pleasant to hear, but it's the reality of life that we all experience. Either way, our homes have a soundtrack. And for those of us wanting to create a Christ-centered home, it is vital that we heed the words of Scripture. So we want our soundtrack, the theme music of our home, to be pleasant words. We want it to be like honey on the ears. Things that are sweet, things that are good, things that are pleasant, things that are God-honoring. So how do we find out how to do that? Well, we look to God's Word. Let's turn to James chapter 3 and see what this passage of Scripture tells us about the power of the tongue and how that impacts the soundtrack of our homes. Now, I have to tell you, all along this week, I had something else in mind that I was going to share. We were going to talk about love and how that's the power source for our family. But about midweek, I was exposed to a video that I'm going to share in a little bit, and I couldn't shake what God wanted us to talk about. How we needed to look at this subject. Now, it would have been easy to stick with what I had prepared, what I had gone to, especially with the events of the last part of this week. I spent all day here, as well as Miss Jody and Brother Donald, in the fellowship hall with an ABS board meeting from 9 until 6. It was a long, long day, but it was important. And because it was important, we were ready to invest our time. So I ask that you pray for me as we look at God's Word today and as we study and figure out what we need to do as we build a Christ-centered home, what the soundtrack of our home is going to be like. And again, I'm not talking about the music. I'm talking about those things that are coming from your mouth, things that your family is sharing. And hopefully there's some praise that's going on in that time. And maybe it's music. As we have just gone through the Sing book in our Faithful Men and Faithful Women, we know that God calls us, if we are saved people, we are to be a singing people. But that's not always the case. You know, if I think about music in my home, besides my mom playing the piano different times, I think about my dad watching MASH. I hear that music playing in my head all the time as that connection. And that was a part of the soundtrack of our home. Well, let's look at James chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13 here. And so James chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. There the Bible says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. But if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting the fire the entire course of life, set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of poison, and with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for how you love us. And I thank you for this time when we can look at your word and we can study and know it better. And Father, as we think about what we hear in our homes, it's what we say and what we speak and what we sing and what we listen to, God, we want to say that you alone are most important. And we ask for your help as we try to line up our life and conduct with what your word says. Father, be with us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, there is great power in the tongue. As we look at James 1, 3, verses 1 through 13, we need to understand that power because that is what our soundtrack in our home is all about. It's the words that we say. It's the songs that we share. It is the encouragement, the hope, it's also the harshness. All of those things make up that sound. Now, I know I love going on hikes. I haven't done it in a while. One of my two favorite times being out in the woods has been with Pastor Kirk. In 2005 and 2006, we went on what was called the Band of Brothers hiking trip. We went out on the Ozark Highlands Trail, hiked for most of the day, and then we would set up camp, spend the night. We'd talk around the campfire and share hearts and lives and some principles of leadership and some other things, and then we would do that again. We'd go for several days, and what was so exciting to me is that even out in the wilderness with no cars, nothing else, there was a soundtrack. There was a sound of water and of birds, of the wind, all of those things, those sounds that made up what was going on. In your home, that's what we're talking about, but in our home, a lot of that is the power of the tongue. So we want to understand that better before we apply it to our homes. The first thing that we need to see is that this is a small thing with a big impact. Much of what we have here is a warning to teachers because the words that come out of their mouths have such powerful impact. even outside of the Christian setting, outside of the church setting, you can probably think back to teachers that have influenced your life positively and negatively. I think about the words of encouragement that I received from my yearbook advisor back in high school, Mrs. Froning. And she would encourage me. And if God had not taken a hold of my life in point a different way, I would have been a photographer in large part because of the encouragement I received from her. I think about the words of encouragement and exhortation that I received from my band director, Miss Ellison. Those were powerful words. But I also remember other words, not as clearly, but of those that were harsh, that were said not necessarily meaning to be mean, but they are powerful. Every word that we say is powerful because the tongue can make a big impact. The Bible gives us three physical examples in this passage that we just read of how the small can have a big impact. And James mentions the bit, a ship's rudder, and a small fire. And so let's just take a moment or two and think about those as we look through this passage of Scripture. Now, the first is found in verse 3. And in verse 3, it says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. I'm not a horseman, not even close. By definition, I probably would be characterized as a city slicker. I mean, that's just my life and who I've been. However, my daughter has ridden horses for most of her life. And that one little piece of metal or synthetic material can change the direction of a 1,000-pound animal. Even when she was little, she could ride and manage the animals all because of this little piece. The tongue's the same. It is small, but man, can it change the world. I think about the words that I say to my wife, that I say to my kids. And if they're not encouraging, if they're not hopeful, if they are not the words that I need to say, then I can cause pain. And you can do the same. Because it's very easy. If we let our filter come completely down and we just say whatever comes to mind when it's dealing with our family members, those that we love and that we care about, it can cause a great deal of pain. We need to understand that small tongue has great impact. As we look on in verses 4 and 5, there the Bible says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Again, I'm not a horseman. I'm not a sailor. My boating experience was usually holding on for dear life as my dad would drive us across the lake trying to rush from one spot to the other. The wind blowing, I'm thinking, why am I out here? I don't really like to fish. I mean, it was just a lot of things going through my head. It would either be cold, wet, and, you know, it was not an experienced thing. But the thing that I did realize, he had turned that wheel a little bit as he changed direction, and boom, you could turn a lot. It's the same with a rudder on a boat. Little changes would make big course corrections. You end up in a different place than you were headed because of what you do with that rudder. Those adjustments that you really can't see on the surface dramatically alter where you end up. The tongue is like that. Words spoken can alter the course of society, our culture, and even the world. Just think of Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Those are emphatic words. Unchanging. It's the truth. But what Jesus is saying in that I am the way is that all those other ways are not the way. Jesus alone is our hope for salvation. That's what he said in those few little words. And those words change the world. There's no room for debate. They're powerful. They're amazing. But think about the words that the angel said on that first Easter morning. He is not here. He has risen. And again, with just a few words, the course of the world is changed forever. The tongue is powerful. It may be small compared to the rest of our body, but it has great power. Then if we look in verses 5 and 6, as we look at the, this next section, as it's talking about small fire, it says how great a force to set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. James goes on to talk about another small thing that can have a huge impact. Here he talks about a small fire, and in our own context, think about forest fires that have been started by one cigarette thrown out of a window or an unattended campfire. By themselves, those small fires could do a very limited amount of damage. They would not spread. They would just be there. They would eventually burn out, either not enough fuel, something that burned on the fire. But what happens is that small fire, you find something else, and it catches that on fire, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. We know that words have that same effect. As words spread, it can be devastating. Think about how quickly things are shared now. I say something, you could tweet it. You could send it out to everybody on your message list. You could put it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. The list goes on of different ways that we can spread information. And in those moments, things can change quite dramatically. The smallest misstep in language, and you're done. But also, it goes the other way, a small misstep with our tongue, and it can destroy the world. It is vital that we keep our tongue in check, because it is powerful, and it can change our home. If we truly want to have a Christ-centered home, we must remember the tongue, because it is small, but it has a huge impact. If we look at verses 7 and 8 there, the Bible says, For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and of sea creature can be tamed and has tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So what are the dangers of the tongue that we find there? One, the Bible says that no human can tame it. People are going to say the wrong things at the wrong time. It's going to happen. But while no human can tame it, the Spirit of God in our life can. That's where we have to trust God. As we're working to build a Christ-centered home, we have to trust the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to work in our hearts, and so that the words that come out of our mouth aren't painful, that are pain-inducing, that they are kind, they're encouraging, they're hopeful. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm never going to get on to my kids. It doesn't mean that you're never going to speak harshly and speak truthfully, which may feel harsh, but it is just simple truth that must be said. But what it does mean is that the Spirit is going to be in control in your life. Well, the other dangers of the tongue, well, it is a relentless evil, as it talks about here. And what is the cure for a relentless evil? Walking in the Spirit. Now, how do we do that? I've mentioned the Spirit twice here. If we trust that the Spirit can contain the tongue, that if it's the cure for the relentless evil, and it is the Spirit that brings life where the tongue can bring poison and death, how do we do that? Well, we embrace our relationship with God. We don't just say, well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to spend my hour at church. I've done my Christian duty. And so, yes, I can live by faith doing that alone. No, God wants something much deeper from all of us. He wants us to spend time in His Word, reading, knowing, studying it. He wants us to pray. He wants us to grow and invest our lives in other believers and have them invest in our lives and then serve Him. When we do those things and we say yes to whatever God has for us, that's when He's going to rule in our life. That's when the Spirit is going to guide. It's going to be with us. He's going to bring life. He's going to help us tame that tongue. He is going to be the cure to the relentless evil that our tongue is. So it is vital that we embrace our relationship with God if we want the soundtrack to our home, the soundtrack of a Christ-centered home, to be one that is God-honoring. So what else do we find in this specific passage? Well, in verses 9 through 12, we find this great contradiction. It is a contradiction that we see. It is a contradiction that we struggle with. Verse 9. If we bless our Lord and Father with With it we bless our Lord and Father, talking about the tongue. And with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. James makes it very clear that we should not speak blessing and curse out of the same mouth. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening from fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Scripture makes it clear that there is a great contradiction found here. We curse others, we yell, we belittle, and then we encourage, we worship, we praise, we teach. And then we yell, we belittle, we gossip, we put down, and then we encourage, we worship. You see the cycle. We go back and forth and back and forth in this. And what God is saying is that shouldn't be the way. The Spirit should be working in our life. We should be embracing our faith, our relationship with Christ, allowing the Spirit to rule, and that tongue should be controlled. And so that we're not going to gossip, that we're not going to belittle, we're not going to bring down, but we're going to build up with that tongue. God's ideal is this, that our tongue be used to bless others and to bless Him. That's what He wants. And when we do that, the soundtrack of a Christ-centered home is something sweet to listen to. It's something wonderful to listen to. Think about it. Some of your family members, you love to go over to their homes versus going over to other family members' homes. Part of that can be because of what is said and how people are harsh. In other places, they use kind words. What is your home like? What does it sound like? What's going on there? Well, the solution for the tongue issue is in verse 13. I like it because it's just let your wisdom show. Walk in the Spirit and let your wisdom show. There's an old wise adage from either Mark Twain or Abraham Lincoln. I couldn't find out for sure in this. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. It's better to keep your mouth shut and to appear stupid and open it and remove all doubt. Both of those, a simple thought, that we need to let the Spirit control our tongue. If we want our homes to be Christ-centered, we need to let the Spirit guide and walk in the Spirit. Instead of foolishness, let's let our wisdom show and walk in the Spirit. Now, how does this talk of the tongue affect specifically the soundtrack of our home? Well, we've touched a little bit on it, but I want to take a moment to watch a video. It's just a few minutes long. And then let that speak to you as we transition over into Ephesians chapter 6. When you look back at James, verse 10, in light of what we just saw, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. It is hard for us to control the tongue, especially in moments when we feel stressed, it is difficult, and when we are around those that we know are going to accept us anyway, they're going to love us anyway, they're our family members, so a lot of those filters fall down. But it is vital that we walk in the Spirit, especially in those moments, because they are so very powerful. Imagine if you're one of those two kids, and you see this contradiction. If you're the family and there's such a contradiction, God wants us to honor Him with our tongues. So how do we do that? How do we apply that in our home? As we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we see in verses 1 through 4 some practical ways that these things are fleshed out. And so there's something really here for everyone. And if we go a little bit further back, we'd find more of that. But I just want us to touch on really on three concepts that we find here as we look and as we think about how the tongue affects the home and how it affects the Christ-centered home. Well, Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So what do we find in verse 1? This simple thing. Children are to obey your parents. The soundtrack of a Christ-centered home is one that is peppered with yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Now, that doesn't mean that they blind obedience, but what it means is that it is children, obey your parents. It reflects our obedience towards God and what He does in our life. And so to be a Christ-centered home, children are to obey their parents. And that should be a part of the soundtrack that goes on. Now, it doesn't have to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. That's just how I learned. And that's how I was trained in band. But there are parts of the country where adding a ma'am or a sir to it is almost just the opposite. My wife grew up in Southern California, and she was expected to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, when she came here, but didn't, and thought that she was sassing them. You know, if you go out to Southern California and say yes, ma'am, they think you're sassing them. And so a lot of it is cultural, but what is at the heart is obedience. That doesn't mean putting things off till later. What it means is that children obey your parents. So a Christ-centered home, part of that soundtrack is a yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. What else do we find here? We find for children, and this goes for whether you are a child or you are an adult child, that a Christ-centered home is peppered with thank you, mom and dad. It is peppered with this attitude of gratitude in our home, that should be a part of what we hear, an understanding that God has provided through my parents a place that I can live, a place that I can enjoy, a place that I can celebrate all these great things, and that I should be grateful for those things. And that should be expressed. And we should express that to one another, not putting it off. For those of us who are out of the house, in our own home, with our own families, it is important that we still express that gratitude to our mothers, our fathers, those that are a part of our lives. It is important that we honor our parents. Now, verse 4 talks about another way that we apply this truth of the power of the tongue. It is that in verse 4, it says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger." If we look at verse 4, it goes a little bit further. It says, "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The Christ-centered home is peppered with the sounds of Scripture and instruction from God's Word. It is going to be a home of instruction and understanding. Now, I'm not saying that we have to feel for everything for our child and, oh, no, and that type of overly empathetic situation, but what I am saying is that there should be understanding. There should be instruction. What the Bible tells us is here is that fathers don't provoke your children to anger. And so that must be our attitude as parents. And all of these things should be applied to our faith families as well. We should be obedient. We should have an attitude of gratitude. We should have a church house full of Scripture and the instruction from God's Word. The three concepts that we pour out over the proper use of our tongue, and when we apply the truths of Scripture to our lives, our faith becomes practical and powerful. Applying the truth of Scripture to our physical family is important, but how much more important it is to apply to our faith family. We're looking at, we not only want to have faith or a Christ-centered homes that we go to, that we live in, that we surround ourselves with. We want to be a Christ-centered church. And there should be a soundtrack to the life here at the church. It should include, of course, the worship music that we express here. But it should be kind words to one another, the instruction of God's Word. We should love on one another. People should know that, not just by our actions, but our words as well. It is important for us to say, "I love you." It's important for us to say, "I'm here for you, whatever you need." It's important for us to express those things because, again, that's a part of the soundtrack of our family of faith. We're to remember the power of the tongue and how it can bring hope and, honestly, how it can bring hopelessness. And so we don't want the soundtrack of our church, of our homes, to be anything but what God has it to be. We don't want to tear down, we want to build up. We need to allow the Spirit to control our speech and speak the words of life and of truth. This morning, I had the opportunity to start our service with one of my wife's favorite verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. But I want to start a little bit earlier than that as we begin to wrap up this morning. There it says in verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Man, that's exciting. It's important for us to embrace that. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only as such is good for building up. As we think about our life here with our faith family, it is vital that we build one another up because it is a hard world that we live in. And some of you are a part of faith or physical families that you're being torn down in. I need you to love on one another. As the student pastor, as the family pastor, I need you to love on the students and children that are a part of our ministry here. I need you to express words of hope and encouragement and help to them and to the students and kids that we have that are part of Parter's House, that are a part of Camp Orioles Ozone. I need you to do those things because they may not hear it from anywhere else. This needs to be their soundtrack of hope and of peace and of love. And knowing that as they come into these walls, that they're going to find those things. Now, there are other people besides just students and children that need that, but that's where my heart is, and that's what I'm asking you to do, to be that voice in their life, and so that they know as they come here that they're going to be loved. In just a few weeks, the University of Arkansas is going to be back in session. College is going to be back underway. And we're going to have some college students that are going to come through those doors. And they need to know that they are loved from the very start. They need to know words of encouragement and hope. They need to hear that you sharing that with even another church member, as that's a part of the soundtrack of what happens at Calvary Baptist Church. It is vital that we embrace this idea of listening and speaking kind words and uplifting words, that being a part of your soundtrack. Trying to think back to your childhood. What was the soundtrack of your home? Was there laughter? Were there words of encouragement? Was it a place of harshness? Was it a time of instruction? We can't change the past. There's no way for us to go back and to say, okay, well, that was a horrible life, so I'm going to somehow go back and fix that. I can't. But I can make my home a place of encouragement, a place of building up, a place of hope, and make the soundtrack of my home one that is God-honoring, especially as I work to have a Christ-centered home. It's my prayer that you'll do the same. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. I thank you for this time and your word that we've had to look and to think about what do we hear in our homes. What's going on there? Because it makes a difference. Father, I've met so many students over the years that have just been hurting. And one little, I'm proud, I love you, makes such a big difference. And God, give us those hearts, give us that willingness, that readiness to be able to share those words with those that need it. Father, help us always to work towards building a Christ-centered home, whether we're a family of 10, a home of one. God, we want you to be at the center. And Father, for our church, we ask for your help. Help us to make sure that we are controlling our tongues, that we are walking by the Spirit, and that we are working to build a Christ-centered church, because it is yours. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you today and that you'll continue to grow in your faith. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to join us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at 1410 North Porter Road in Fayetteville. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.